This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hey there, mindful listeners. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. I am Dr. Holly Lucille here at Mindful Medicine, and I am so excited. I know I say that all the time about this particular episode. We're going to be talking about biofarming technology and the future of healthcare. Now, you might be thinking, what is biofarming technology? Well, that's why you're here. That's why we're all here. And that is why my guest, Dr. Brian Kornblatt, is here. He is the Chief Medical Officer for BioHarvest Sciences and co-founder and Chief Scientific Officer of International Nutrition Associates. So that's INA. INA provides clinical trials, right? So clinically backed nutraceuticals. So we're going to definitely talk about that to countries throughout Asia and South America. Dr. Kornblatt, we've got so much to talk about and so much more about you, but welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to be speaking to you. And I just want to say right off the bat, thank you so much for all you've done to educate people on integrative functional medicine. It's definitely the up and coming kind of realm of medicine here in the US and around the world.
I really appreciate that. A lot of people know my story. I'm daughter of two pharmacists, and my dad was like, I can get you into any medical school you want and all that stuff. And I was just always, I went to nursing school first and I found the American Holistic Nursing Association. I was like, that's more how my mind thinks. And then through that, I found out about naturopathic medicine / functional medicine / integrative medicine, which we could have a whole show on, hey, what's the difference? But tell me about your background, because from what I know, you are a conventionally trained MD, correct?
That's right. So I was in Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in the MD-PhD program. I had lost a friend to cancer when I was in high school. So that's how I got interested. When I was a junior in high school, I started doing clinical trials. And interestingly, I wasn't studying how drugs work. I was studying how they failed, which is really interesting. And how can you make them better? And so ultimately, I did that for 5 years throughout the rest of my high school and during college. I was blessed to get accepted to Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. I wanted to be a children's cancer doctor, pediatric oncologist. And in my second year, I actually came home to visit my parents, just let them know everything was going well. And I indirectly helped to diagnose my dad what would be in 1996 stage 4 metastatic colorectal cancer. The good news is I can tell you that I was with him last night and we had dinner together. And
that is amazing.
I talk to my mom and dad every day. They're both colorectal cancer survivors. At Hopkins, I went all around looking at the labs. Like, I got kind of mad. Do we wait for cancer to take hold or can we do stuff to kind of let it come later? Or God, the holy grail, could we prevent it in the first place? And there were just then scientists that were just starting to look years earlier at some of these phytonutrients and components in our diet, and specifically broccoli at the time, that could stave off certain types of cancer. And that's how I got really involved in this, you know, the phytonutrient story, prevention and health promotion, and even integrative functional medicine. And I can, I'll let you ask a few questions. I can give a quick story as a good example of how I really got into integrative functional medicine.
I mean, that is amazing. And so just for my listeners, because you packed a lot in, and thank you so much for doing so. So what Brian was mentioning is he said phytonutrients. And I think that's just an important word to tease out and talk a little bit about, because obviously we know of nutrients, right? But phytonutrients, so phyto is plant. So these are nutrients or come from plants. And so I'm sure you're going to get more and more into that, especially when it comes to the incredible nutrients packed in broccoli, sulforaphane, et cetera. And so, but I do think that's important. So, you know, one of the things that caught my attention about your bio is that you believe, and we're going to get into more of what you've developed, and I'm so fascinated because the daughter of two pharmacists, right? One of the things that's been hard in our sort of nutraceutical or dietary supplement industry is it's tough to patent a natural product, right? And so a lot of times people are like, "What? Where's the evidence? Why isn't this FDA approved, et cetera?" And so I know we're going to talk about that. But you said that you believe that integrative medicine will help everyone prepare for the next pandemic. Can you tease out that point for me first?
Yeah, and I'll tell you the story that really was my awakening, that aha moment. So I'm in medical school, and I really love like data and evidence-based medicine. And I remember there was a patient who shared this really fascinating story where 4 out of the 7 days a week, she would wake up and have joint health issues. So just really painful joints, and she couldn't you know, kind of stretch her joints and close her hands. And so, you know, the typical workup is, what could this be? And it was really quick. You know, we didn't have a lot of time to do lots of tests. So right out of the gates, we gave her a prescription for an anti-inflammatory. And then I'm thinking, wait a second, I'm a numbers guy. Like, what about the other 3 days? Just like, you know, I had been trained to look at why drugs don't work, not how they work. So I'm like thinking about, why is it that there's only the 3 days she doesn't have pain, 4 days she does? It can't just be some kind of, you know, typical reason. You would think somebody would have a chronic ailment in their joints. It would be every single day, and it would get worse and better, but it'd be every day. So I started thinking, there's got to be a pattern to this. What's going on? So she came back, and we started asking about her diet and environmental exposures. And sure enough, it ended up being a nut allergy. And that was the first time I really thought, you know, here I am at one of the best medical schools in the world, and nothing against Johns Hopkins. It was an incredible education. I learned more about helminths, these worms in the Nile River, than I did about human nutrition. We had a 5-day human nutrition class back in the 1990s. And I'm thinking,
5 days.
And you go and you look in the literature, 70% of all chronic diseases is because of our poor nutrition. Yet we barely learned about it. We learned about drugs, you know, and it was funny too. And then I thought, wait a second. So the way we kept my father alive, he got conventional chemo, radiation, surgery, but then we gave them these phytonutrients, which are chemicals and plants and fruits that actually have health-promoting properties. And so we went back to really pharmaceuticals' roots, which is plants and fruits. You know, that's how they got started, extracts from natural medicine. And that's all we were doing now. And that's where I really got into this switch to look at these phytonutrients from plants and see how they can promote health and wellness.
That is amazing. And, you know, I mean, I've been a naturopathic doctor and in practice for over 20 years now. And sometimes people would come into my office. They were exhausted from the conventional care. And everybody knows that I believe that there is a place for everything and that there are value in different systems of medicine. I wouldn't be alive without conventional Western allopathic medicine for sure. But they would come in. And, you know, I would do similar things that you're talking about, like just use my mind. And, you know, one of my taglines throughout the years was, hey, let's think things through, kind of like you did, right? You're like, hey, there's got to be a pattern here. What? Chronic pain is pretty much chronic pain, but only 3 days or four, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. And what would happen is that consumers would get upset at their conventional doctors that, well, why didn't they say this, or why didn't they run this test? And I would have to actually go in defense mode of them and say, well, that's just not how they're taught to think. From my perspective, Western medicine and Western medical education is much more reductionistic. And as you said, okay, you've got joint pain, here's an anti-inflammatory. It's that here, take this type of medicine, and that's pretty much it. And what I wanted to do throughout my entire career, instead of bashing other healthcare, you know, practitioners or other systems of medicine, is just do that education that there are choices and there are second opinions and there's other ways that we can think through things. And that ultimately, when you're thinking about a primary care provider, we all should be, you know, at the end of the day, primarily in charge of providing the care that we need to ourselves to be well. And that was just a big thing for me.
I love that. And I always say in some of my talks, you have to take control of your own health destiny. You're your best advocate. You can't rely on others. And so you really need to get that understanding. And why I love the, you know, a lot of times here in the U.S., you know, integrative functional medicine, if they're MDs, they're trained in Western medicine. They just do fellowships and additional kind of medical training where they're taught to pause, take some time out, take a full hour and look at, ask questions like, where is this person's working? You know, are they exposed to chemicals? What is their diet? I always love to give this anecdote that we have two cats. The first thing you do when you take any pet to the veterinarian is they ask, what food are they eating? I go to my annual exam and I'm not going to list the name of the doctor. You barely ever get asked what you're eating because you're not trained in that in Western medicine. We're trained almost like robots in a way. I have a book on my shelf right next to me here, Differential Diagnosis and Primary Care. I got it in the 1990s. You give me 3 or 4 symptoms and I can tell you almost exactly 4 or 5 different diseases and what drugs to give. That's how you're trained. We don't even think about our genetics, the genes that we got from our mom and dad, how that interplays, the food we're eating, our environment. Those are major factors and probably more important than anything. And, you know, what we tend to do is put Band-Aid on symptoms, which is instead of taking the time like you do and go after the root cause, which is a lot of time environmental.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk more about environmental concerns, because I got to tell you, my practice changed in the last decade, because when I first started out in 2000, I guess, you know, I would say, Brian, that medicine really isn't rocket science. You know, there we would, you know, if you look at obstacles to cure, understand that the body has this innate ability to heal. And, you know, you knew what somebody's diet was like or their lifestyle. You could clean that up a little bit with dietary modifications. A lot of time gluten, just because of how inflammatory it became with the genetically modified dwarf wheat back in the 60s. And, you know, we would clear things up really easily with these lifestyle interventions as well. And then it started to get harder and harder to get better outcomes until I started looking at the environmental assaults and influences that were on people's, or, you know, contributing to people's clinical presentations.
No, you're exactly right. And I'll give you a great example. Personal example, I love to cycle. I live in an area called Westminster, Maryland. It's rural. And I would go and cycle. And on good days, you know, I'd come back and I have good recovery. I'm not in that much pain. But certain times we go really early in the morning. There's a lot of farmland around here. And while we're out on these country roads, there's a lot of diesel exhaust, you know, trucks and farm equipment on the roads. And I would feel like crap afterwards. And I'm like, God, this is interesting. And then I put two and two together. The benzene, we breathe it in. It goes through our lungs into our bloodstream, gets into all of our tissues and our brain, and we feel brain fog and we feel joint inflammation, and it's due to the environment. And this is these kind of hidden dangers that people don't even think about. So here's, you know, exhaust from combustion engines can actually lead to health symptoms the next day. And so if I went to a Western doctor, they might give me an anti-inflammatory. Instead, what I did is I changed the timing when I rode, so I wasn't out there with the tractors, and that made a world of difference.
So just that simple intervention of decreasing exposure when you could. So those are the things that are in your control. You were able to actually probably preserve your health, but also feel better while you're getting your movement on. And movement is medicine. I know, you know, as you probably know, is just, it's a huge foundational piece for people.
No, absolutely. And what's nice is you probably know, I'm sure you've attended some, there's entire conferences in the integrative functional world now on detoxification and environmental insults. And so what I've done since the late 1990s, I've spent my entire career actually looking at those chemicals from plants, phytonutrients that are multifaceted. So let me back up and share. I don't see people as having diseases. I was trained in molecular biology in my PhD years. I see them as having perturbations or problems with some of their molecular pathways. So I love phytonutrients that do a lot at the cellular level. So I started with sulforaphane. Now at BioHarvest with their product Vinia, we're focused on piceid resveratrol, which does a lot of great things at the cellular level. So, and one of them, so not only do I ride at different times, I take now this Vinia, this piceid resveratrol and quercetin containing product. It induces enzymes and genes in my body that detoxify me from all these things that I'm insulted with day in and day out, just from simple living. You know, these chemicals that are part of everyday life.
Okay, so, you know, I used to also have a saying, I guess I'm a slogan creature, but I would say supplement your lifestyle. And that's exactly what you're doing, right? You know where you live, you know what the environment insults are, you go out and ride, but then you take a supplement, and we're going to get into, I'm going to talk about your novel line of products, because your company is called Avmacol, correct? A-V-M-A-C-O-L?
Well, that's where I got my foundation, actually, in the dietary supplement nutraceutical space. So it's a wonderful company, Nutramax Laboratories. I left that in May, and the only reason is Nutramax is absolutely incredible. Their products are backed by science. If you have a dog or cat, they're huge in the veterinarian world, and they actually had the patent for glucosamine chondroitin. So Cosamin was one of the first joint health products. But the only reason I started getting nervous, because we created this great broccoli-based product line, Avmacol, but with the supply chain issues when COVID came around, it was really tough. So I got introduced to BioHarvest, where it's the exact opposite. We actually, you'll hear through biofarming, we grow our own raw material. So the biggest Achilles heel in the dietary supplement space is getting access to raw materials. We actually produce them at BioHarvest ourselves. So there's no longer a problem with relying on others for, you know, quality, consistent raw materials. We actually grow them ourselves. And we can talk further when you're ready about that.
That's amazing. And that's where the biofarming technology comes in, correct?
Yeah, and this is what I love. So something about me, you know, my whole life, I've always been, you know, and let me go back, because it has to do with those initial times when Andy, my friend, passed away of cancer. I worked with his exact doctors at University of Maryland School of Medicine, the Cancer Center. And I often ask, you know, I was always taught that heart disease and cancer, they're all genetic diseases. And that's just one part of the story. What I've learned over the years, it's really this interplay between the genes and the polymorphisms in our DNA that we're born with, plus environmental insults. It's those two together that often leads to diseases. So what we learned about Andy is he had lived in an area where there was chromium mines, so there was chromium metabolites in the water. His house was right by a high voltage power line, so that's not good, the EMF. So he had genes that probably made it higher risk than in his life he would get a disease like cancer, but he needed those environmental insults. So that's a really important thing to bring up. And I just wanted to share that as well with your audience. Again, when we think about diseases and ways to start combating them, and that's where I can talk about what I've done with my career, we really need to think about how can you modulate some of these environmental insults. And that's what I've been doing with some of these phytonutrients.
Amazing, because I have to tell you from what I see, and you know, I know that we talk the talk. I don't think we walk the walk yet. I know that, you know, we see our environment taking a dump, and there are a lot of different efforts out there. And basically, it's a plea for humans just to be better people. You know, could you just do better? Could you use less plastic? And I think this is going to be around for a while, and so I think this is the next best thing. You know, this is an urgent issue.
I was just going to say, let me tell you about BioHarvest, because you had asked about the biofarming. So because I know all these things about our environment, right, plastics, other things, they can cause problems, right? And maybe even things like, you know, cooking products, you know, where it's anti-stick, you know, you're thinking of PFAs and all these little acronyms, you know, BPA and plastics, right? So what BioHarvest did is they're a company that wants to pass on to our next generation, our children and grandchildren, a better earth than we have today. And so instead of needing to use hectare acres and acres and acres of land and pesticides and herbicides and all this stuff and destroy, you know, forests to produce our products, his name is Dr. Zaki Rakib. He's an amazing person. He was one of our co-founders of BioHarvest more than 13 years ago now in Israel. He actually sourced out and he wanted to see what is one of the main problems affecting men and women around the world, and it's cardiovascular health issues. And so he started looking at, you know, where's an area in the world where people are eating really unhealthy, but yet they have good health outcomes. And he went to France. There was a lot of stuff, you know, more than a decade ago being published about the French paradox, where you can eat crappy, you know, foods, lots of high fat, you know, dairy products, but you can drink a lot of wine and they have really good health outcomes and good cardiovascular health. It didn't make any sense. What's in the wine is resveratrol, this phytonutrient. So instead of having to grow vineyards where maybe once or twice a year total, you get to harvest the fruits and make dietary supplements, he brought amazing female PhDs. We have some of the best plant biologists and people from pharma and biotech that came to BioHarvest and are still with us now, mostly working in our labs in Israel. And they developed a way to grow starting from certain cells of these, you know, for example, with the grapes, some of the grape seed and the grape pulp, certain cells, we can grow them initially in petri dishes like we all did in high school biology. And then we put them into bioreactors, liquid-based, and we do this all indoors. So we don't need any soil. We don't need, you know, lots of land. It's in a smaller area. And we can actually grow every 6 weeks tons of material. So we're getting a lot more bang for the buck, so to speak, with limited amount of space. And we know exactly what goes in. No herbicides, no chemicals. We're just putting in nutrients and growth factors. It's absolutely amazing. Very clean and consistent lots of lot as well.
That is, and you've got it all under your control. And that's absolutely amazing. So I want to ask you this. That is fascinating. And I want to understand a couple things. How can my listeners consume or understand more about BioHarvest Sciences and the products that you grow and then manufacture?
No, absolutely. So if you go into bioharvest.com, it's a really beautiful website. You can actually go into, on the upper right is going to be a little couple sections and there's science, like about us. You can actually see videos of the process of, like I shared, taking, you know, some of the plant cells and then putting them into a petri dish and then going to a bioreactors and then we dry them and they come out as powders. So we can put them in functional foods. Our Vinia is right now in a capsule. We're going to have other delivery systems. You know, you can put them in protein bars. So again, you get a powder that's really amenable to putting in all kinds of different delivery systems. And the powder is quantified. We know exactly how much phytonutrients per gram is in every lot, and it's consistent lot to lot. And the beauty of that is the other part of my life here in integrative functional medicine and health promotion is I've been doing clinical trials since I was a kid. We back these by human clinical trials, translational medicine from bench all the way through human clinical trials.
That is, I'm just blown away right now. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Okay, listeners, that's bioharvest.com, just like it sounds. And so one of the last questions, FDA carelessness. Just, I'm going to leave it there for you.
So, you know, I have a lot of friends. So I went to Hopkins both for I started with an MD and then I switched over and I did a PhD and then I did a postdoc fellowship at the Hopkins School of Public Health. I did pharmacology as my PhD, toxicology, environmental health sciences was my postdoc fellowship. I have a lot of friends that are in the FDA. And I think at the end of the day, the FDA does an amazing job. I think where it gets a little murky, as I shared, is and it's no fault of pharmaceutical companies. Let me go back because you asked a great question. How do you patent something from nature? And the way you do it is you come up with combinations. So, for example, we maybe take like the resveratrol from red grapes and mix it with something else, another component from another material. And if it's unexpected synergy, the two together do better than what you thought, and it's not part of the public domain, then you can actually patent that, this combination. So that's how dietary supplements do a lot of their patents. But there's a lot of research. You don't just throw darts at a board and call it a day. You got to do a lot of research. I've done this. I actually have 3 filed or issued patents and 4 more filed. And you go to the patent office and you show your data. So it's a lot of work. Pharma, though, got stuck because they couldn't just, for example, Taxol in the oncology space I was in initially for breast cancer. Taxol came from the bark of the live Pacific yew tree. And what pharma did originally, got a patent on, and they were able to synthesize taxols and taxanes. And that's, you know, back in the day, that's what you could do is just get a patent on the synthesis of something from nature. But that became old. You can't do that anymore. So then instead of mixing things together, they started taking natural compounds and adding synthetic groups to them. And that's how they got patents. But the problem is the body recognizes it as foreign. So that's why if you see, and it's, God forbid you watch, and it's amazing. I just came from the Philippines and South Korea 2 weeks ago working on clinical trials. And you'll love this. Integrative functional medicine is taking hold in those countries. So I talked to those docs and healthcare workers in those areas while I was there for 2 weeks. There's no commercials at all in pharmaceuticals. There's a lot of commercial and dietary supplements. New Zealand and America, the only 2 countries in the world, and it's interesting, that have pharmaceutical commercials. And when you look at them, Isn't it weird that you take something for a skin rash and one of the side effects is death? And you're like, how is that even possible? It's because they're not taking stuff from nature to get a patent. They take stuff from nature and then they add a group to it. So it's kind of unique. And the body doesn't recognize that as normal. You know, for whatever you think, whatever our evolution has been, our body hasn't seen these before. It's brand new. It's man-made or now AI-made. And so our body kind of reacts to it and rejects it. And you get all this litany of side effects where dietary supplements, you know, really side effects. We're just taking natural compounds directly from plants and fruits, if that makes sense to the listeners.
Yeah. Well, I think that we are on a crusade here. I mean, I do believe that the tides are turning and people are being more and more aware of what you're saying and starting to use their mind. I mean, that's sort of what my show is all about, right? That's what I've wanted, I've dreamed about, is just people not, you know, like not, don't listen to me, don't listen to you, but listen. I mean, okay, listen, but don't just follow, right? Just use your mind. Does this make sense? You know, is this something that we can do different? All right, so I want to touch on this one last topic that I think everybody's feeling these days, inflation. And how is that affecting our health?
That's a great and incredible question. So one of the nice things, too, about the dietary supplement industry, you know, one of the main mantras I have and some of the things I used to publish when I was still in academia is all this work that we did with phytonutrients. We didn't, and again, let me just back off because this is an important point. We work with the FDA. You know, they do. People don't think the FDA regulates our industry. We're regulated by GMPs from the FDA. They can come in and audit our facilities. The FTC regulates what we do in terms of advertising. We can't go beyond structure function claims. And my dream would be that we work hand in hand with the FDA and pharmaceutical companies. I would love to see synergy. And we've done this before, but we're trying to do it now at BioHarvest, where we work with pharmaceutical companies as adjuncts. We can use our products to make their products even better, you know, working together. So we don't have to be enemies at all our competitors. I think if we work together, we can have some great outcomes. And the nice thing different than drugs, you know, in the cancer space right now, as you know, there's these CAR T therapies and all these new biologics, $5,000-$10,000 at least sometimes monthly. And even for like skin disorders, some of these biologics can be $45,000 a year. Are all the stuff that I've developed with all the science backing, we're talking things that are less than $1 a day from natural compounds, you know, dietary supplements. You're not spending $5,000-$10,000 with a litany of side effects. They're coming from nature, very safe, and they're very affordable. You know, as you say, sometimes less than a cup of a coffee daily, you know, and you're promoting health and wellness also. So you're getting some really good things for a really small price.
Yeah, I would have that conversation a lot with people because I had a cash practice and still do. And some of the things that people spend money on in their lives and or their cars or their nails or, you know, their hair, but not themselves would drive me a little bonkers. And that, but I mean, I would approach it in a much more gentle, like wanting to just nudge a little bit and open that mind a bit. It's like, hey, what's really going to be very valuable with the income that you have to spend on these, you know, things, these, and I would have that conversation quite a bit with people, but it makes a lot of sense and pennies on the dollar and a lot of big bang for the buck. Dr. Brian Kornblatt, amazing your work as well. I appreciate you so much. So again, for my listeners, check it out. Check out the science. Check out the technology of biofarming. It's pretty darn cool because everything is in control, no supply chain issues or questions, and incredible products to help you heal. And it's from nature. So bioharvest.com. And then you can also on Twitter, bioharvest, BHSC, and on Facebook at Bioharvest Sciences. How can we learn more about you, Dr. Brian Kornblatt?
Yeah, so you can go online and Google. You know, there's a couple of the presentations I've done over the years, clinical trials and some of the other areas. You can go and search, and there's some things on YouTube. One of the things I wanted to plug as well, we're going to be doing now every 2 weeks, the CEO, Ilan Sokol, and I are going to have Talking Science with Brian and Ilan, and we'd love to have you on, and we can be on your show. You know, we help each other out. We're not trying to be competition. We're going to have customers and anybody in the know, you can call up. We're going to have live feeds where you can just call up and ask us any questions about health and wellness, about our products, the science, biofarming, anything you want. And just like you do, I think the key is we have to, couple things I want to end on here. We have to educate people, again, to think outside the box, like I did in medical school. And number two, let's work together. I would love for insurance companies to cover integrative functional medicine. A lot of it now is out of pocket, but I think we need to get insurance to really cover those modalities because, again, we're getting really great outcomes and the world needs to have more access to this at an affordable cost.
That's amazing. Yes, we are definitely going to stay in touch. All right, mindful listeners, thank you again. And we're going to see you next time.